Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Amen. This is W.L. Scott. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I might see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. We just thank God for all of you being here today. This is another great day in the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We thank you today, Father, that your word is true, that nothing in the world can stop your promises, Lord. And we praise you, and we praise you, Lord, for the glory right now, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us to be a blessing. We want to touch people's lives. We want to make a difference in their lives, oh God. We pray for great humility to fall upon us, Lord, that we might serve people, Father, that we might touch their lives, Father, that we might make a difference in their lives. And we thank you, Father, for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We thank God today for blessing us to be a blessing. That's the main thing in life. If we can bless others, I believe the greatest need of all of us is to be able to serve someone else. To be a blessing to someone else is a great need in our lives. You know, sometimes we see people becoming takers, and they have a problem because they're not serving, because serving is a part of Christianity. It's a part of what God did when he sent Jesus down to die for us. God is serving us right now. All of the blessings of God that is bestowed upon us. So it is good for us to serve other people. You know, we want to look at from the 7th chapter of Matthew, and we want to look at the 24th through the maybe the 27th verse. This is what Jesus said. You know, after he had talked on the Sermon on the Mountain and talked about the Beatitudes and all of those things, then he made this statement. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds beat, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The question is, what is your house standing on? What is the temple of God standing on? You are the temple of God, or you are the temple of Satan. There is a spirit indwelling you. It is either the Holy Spirit quickening your spirit, or it is Satan quickening your spirit to operate like him in destruction. Steal, kill, and destroy. So you are being led by one spirit or the other. The Bible says we are temples of God. When we become Christians, we are the temples of God. You know, I hear people talk about the unchurched. Well, I would talk about the ones who go to church who are unchurched. People who go to church who don't be the church when the benediction is over. I would say they're probably in worse shape as the ones who don't even go to the building for fellowship. Both are important. It is important to go and fellowship with other believers. It is also good to go out among those who are in darkness and be the light of the world. So he talks about this, and then he says in verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." You know, I think about that. The same storms are going to come up on a good man that comes up on a bad man. The same storms are going to come up on the wicked as much as on the righteous. The same storms. But what we're built on will determine whether we are bitter and angry or whether we are joyful and peaceful. Knowing that we are standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. I thought about in Matthew 16 chapter when Jesus says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some says Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, a lot of people tell me about what their mothers had. They tell me about their fathers being preachers or deacons or whatever. But what do you say about Jesus Christ? What has he done in your life? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? I know what you tell me about your mother, but I want to know, what do you know about Jesus? And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock that Jesus was talking about was the revealed truth that comes from the Father. He said, "I will build my church." So if we are standing on that rock of revealed truth that comes from heaven, every Christian has access to reveal truth, because every Christian is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the heart of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So if you're not operating in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, then you are building upon sand. You're not building on the rock. The rock will not move. It will not shift. But the sand will compromise. The sand will compromise. The sand will agree with the world rather than God. So the question is, who do you say God is? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say the Holy Spirit is? Only God the Father can reveal who Jesus Christ is. Only Jesus can reveal who the Father is. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal who both of them are. So what we're saying here, we cannot explain to darkness the existence of God. We cannot explain it. God and science do not conflict. Only the scientists who think they are God conflict with God. So God made the whole universe. So he understands the dynamics of this earth. He understands all of these things, things you can't see, like electricity. He understands cyberspace. He understands all of these things, how all of it works. How do you put a several-tier airplane in the air? How does this plane stay in the air? God already knows about these things. In other words, we didn't discover this. We got the knowledge from God. When we operate in the things of God, then we won't worship the things we possess. We will worship the God who gave us the possessions. That's why he can say, here's my words. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. So are we building our lives on the rock, or are we building our lives on the opinions of other people? Are we getting our information from commentaries or someone else's message, or are we hearing from the Holy Spirit? Are we hearing from the Holy Spirit? Are we doing the research for the message we deliver from the Holy Spirit? Or are we delivering somebody else's message that we're really not sure whether it's true or not? It sounds good, but is it true? And you won't know it's true unless you operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But then he says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit brings God the Father, God the Son, into focus to the human flesh, to the human mentality. In other words, we began to see the spiritual power of life by operating in the things of God, led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So what we're saying tonight is this. If you are a wise Christian, you're going to build on the rock. You're going to build where you will be stable. The words that you speak and the words you live by will be the words that are revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Not somebody else's message, but God's message coming straight from God, where you can say, God said. We need a Christian movement that says, God says. Not somebody else, not W.L. Scott, not some other great minister, but God says. And you won't be able to say God said until you get familiar with hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Instead of hearing the voice of other people, we need to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so we can operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what this is about. Are you building your life? Your life ought to be the message to the world. You don't need to talk about Jesus in the world. You need to live like Jesus. Then they'll ask you about Jesus. In other words, you need to speak with your life. You need to speak with the life of Jesus Christ, the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. That will start the conversation in the world. The world hates the name of Jesus, because there is power in the name of Jesus. That name will destroy. It will destroy darkness. It will destroy everything that is not like God, because Jesus Christ has power over demonic forces. And I want you to know that today, that as we study tonight, as we think about this tonight, ask yourself, who am I listening to? Where am I getting the words that I speak? Where am I getting the words that I live? Am I getting this from God, or am I getting this from somebody else? Am I patterning after my fellowship, or am I patterning after God? So we all have access to God. Every Christian, when we talk about growing, we're talking about the ability to access God. We're not talking about where we go to a class and we all start being taught the same thing and we have to think the same. We're talking about where we can say, listen to the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit, because God has some new things he want to reveal to us. But we are more concerned about reading somebody else's messages and preaching somebody else's messages rather than letting God give us a new thing, a new piece of the message where we can say, God said this, not somebody else. That's why I don't copyright my material, because God gave it to me. And if God gave that information to me, I have no right to copyright something that don't belong to me. It don't belong to me. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely you give. So we can give the stuff away that God gives us. Because it don't belong to us. It belongs to God. It belongs to the kingdom of God. We have no right to withhold it from anybody. It belongs to God. It don't belong to you. You may have a pretty phrase, but it's not your phrase. It belongs to God. It's already given away. The more I give away, the more I get to give away. The more I give, the more I get to give. I just discovered that in my life. The more I bless others, the more I'm blessed. So I don't have to worry about being blessed. I just keep blessing. In other words, you reap what you sow. So you give the word of God, and God just keeps filling your cup up, filling your cup up. You got to empty your cup in order to get it filled back up. So who are you standing on? Whose words are you listening to? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you getting the message from the mouth of God? This is the rock that the church is built on. Jesus said that. Flesh and blood, Peter, did not reveal this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we are building upon the rock, we don't have to worry about what darkness say. We don't have to worry about demonic forces, satanic forces. We don't have to worry about those things, because if we are built on the rock, we will be able to stand in any storm. The storms don't get too big for God. We can stand when we lose a loved one, because we're built on the rock of Jesus Christ. We can stand if we lose our income, our jobs, our houses, our cars, because we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And so when we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, we don't act like the world when the storms come. We stand in peace. We stand in joy, because we know that our God will supply all that we need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we know that if we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, all that we need will be met. David said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He didn't say need. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the Bible says, he that has his pleasure in the Lord, he will give him the desires of his heart. Will give him the desires of his heart. Because my desire will not be W.L. Scott's desires. My desires will be the desires of God. When I have my pleasure in him, when I love him more than anything, he will give me the desires of my heart. Do you want the desires of your heart, or do you want the desires of the heart of God who lives inside of you? Sister Mary, have words, please, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Afternoon.
Glory be to God, and to him I give all praises today.
Amen.
You know, I've had a day today that I haven't had in many years. I have a lot of material and material to study and whatnot. Some of it 30 years old, and I've been digging it out today. And I've been enjoying it today. And asking, realizing that we can surround ourselves with joy, with the fruits of His Spirit, and enlighten we can enlighten our own selves and help preach our own selves. We have to. Basically, I wanted to say one or two words about the word long suffering. You know, when I look back, I see how God's mercy, his grace, and all his power, his blood, everything about him kept me like he promised. But Lord, look at me. He was long-suffering with me.
Amen.
And when I think about how I acted and how I kick and scream sometimes, even now, about something I want or something I didn't like, it just makes cold chills run over me. Because I'm still trying to have my way. And I don't want to have my way. I want to have his way. And to have his way means I got to give up the good, the bad, give up all of me to him and follow after him.
Amen. Praise God.
Now, to be fishers of men and proper fishers of men, we got to have a bait. We got to have something to catch them with and somewhere to put it after we catch them.
Amen.
And if we're going to catch these men and bring them to God, and then not teach them what God says. We just want to give them a little tap, say, hey, I give you a little tap, and we gone. That's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about God was long-suffering with me. Now, you take our children. How many years does it take? And even sometime when they are 40 and 50 and I'm 80, and they still haven't learned what I've taught them. But I still pray with them and don't give up the fact that they will understand, that they will come to God, because I'm not quitting. And look how long suffering God has been with me.
Amen.
You know, I think it was, I don't know that it's biblical, but there was a man that God sent to Abraham. It's not biblical at all. But God sent a man to Abraham, and the man went to Abraham, and of course, Abraham fixed him some food. And the man wasn't going to bless his food. Oh, no, he wasn't doing that. So Abraham told him, you get up and you get out of here. Well, the next morning, God comes back and says, Abraham, what happened to the old man I sent you? Well, you know, I cooked him some food, and he wouldn't thank you for it and wouldn't bless his food, and I told him to leave. So God told Abraham, now, Abraham, that old man has not obeyed me in 300 years, and I put up with him, and you couldn't put up with him for one night. And when I get to thinking about Mary, it just makes me want to follow after and close after Jesus, because I realize I can't do it myself. I can do all the talk I want to. Without some action, I can't follow him. I got to live it. I got to walk in it. I got to do it. I can talk about dirty dishes all I want to, but until I get in there and run some water and wash them or pay somebody to wash them, they're not going to get done. They're not going to get done. So I'm trying to watch after Mary here to get Mary to do. This program is a learning process for me. I want it to be like God wants it to be from me. So every day I'm asking, Lord, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to tell the people, Lord, that will enlighten somebody? It don't matter how bad you are, what you were born into. Just bring it all to Jesus. He'll wash it away. He'll make it white as snow. You'll get reborn, and all the things that we were born into will be washed away with time. And every day of our lives, we'll be more and more like Jesus. And we'll be in the prayer line. We'll be in the teaching line. But before long, we'll be praying and teaching for other people. We'll be out catching other people. So the only thing that I want to say today, as ministers, and not pointing any fingers at anyone, I'm mainly talking about Mary today. I want God to lead me where he wants me to go. I want to do what he wants me to do.
Amen.
And Mary don't always have the slightest idea where that is. And I just give him praise for being willing and able, because it's his call, not mine. It's his long-suffering, Lord, that has kept me through all these years. His grace that's been good to me as well as my seed and to many people that have surrounded us is God. And so we can talk about the goodness, but we also have to let down sometimes and let people know about the bad, to let them know that I've been where you are, and that's how I know that God can lift you up. I know he will forgive you. He'll provide for you. He'll make a way for you. And we can't do that. We say love, but love is an action. And where there's love and no action, ain't nothing really happening other than talk. That's not going to wash dishes and not going to wipe no noses in the middle of the night and wash no dirty clothes. And it's certainly not going to work. The Lord knows I love him. And I just give praise tonight for this program. And I thank God for being on it. Thank you.
God is good, isn't he?
He is.
God serve. He is so good to us. Wow,
yes,
that's
he
what
is.
Sister Marie got to say tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Sister
How
Marie?
Are you all? I am here. This evening, we concluded our vacation Bible school, and we had double the people. And I guess everybody may have been a little tired, but I got me some extra rest so I could be prepared for the extra people, because I knew by the menu who would be there. Anytime you serve barbecue, you know people going to come when it's free. So as we prepare to begin to serve the people, I don't know, right off this negative spirit was in the air, coming from some of the people that I would have thought would be one of the peacemakers. But instead, they were voice, and I guess you're going to let Friday the 13th take over and say a little negative stuff. And I immediately recognized the spirit. So what I did was just start having the joy of the Lord verbally, you know, saying, oh, it's a great day, and I'm so happy, I'm blessed in the Lord, and I hope you have a better day, and just babbling on all kind of stuff. So anyway, everybody just kind of looked, and then after a while, you know, the spirit left. But the devil will try all sorts of things to get his foot in the door. And if we are not aware of him, when he comes, he'll come through some of the best people. And if we're not aware of him, then before we know it, then we're operating in some things that are unlike Christ, in speaking it and gestures and thoughts. So tonight I just want to thank God that I recognized that spirit and I picked up the Lord. The scriptures say that the Lord, Jesus gave the disciples a new commandment, and he also gives it to us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so I just, when they began to just clowning, just, you know, just because you're tired don't mean you have to talk ugly, you know. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that it wasn't me that was doing it. So I said, now I'm going to stand apart from them. And how am I going to stand apart from them when I have on the same shirt? Everybody has on the same shirt. Everybody's standing in the same line. And we're all women. So how am I going to the crowd, looking back, how am I going to stand apart from this negative spirit that's hovering around in here? So I just, like I said, began to speak God's word, kind words and smiles, and my gestures were loving gestures, putting my arm out to hug people, and then soon it did flee. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus said he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to him except through the Father. And so, you know, we can sit up and we can try to do it on our own, but unless we pick up Christ-like behavior, it won't work for us. And he also says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and to be with you forever. And I thank the Lord that I have tapped into the power that's in me.
Amen, and, that's good.
Yes, I have tapped into the power that is in me. And I just thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that he lives in me, and I know he lives in me. And I tap into him. Some of the best people were just standing there saying the most horrible things. And I didn't even think about it twice. I just started, just wanting to put it out in the atmosphere, the good words, you know, let's throw out some good words to run this thing off. And it did flee. The Bible says if we resist Satan, we resist the devil, he will flee. So I could have stood there and retaliated, but instead I picked up the cross and I gave them a little bit of taste of Jesus to remind them that we are disciples. We are to operate as the Lord says we are to operate. We have him inside of us, and I didn't want to grieve my Holy Spirit because I love him, and I want to always do what he had me to do. Amen.
Amen, that's good. You know, the thing about it, we can do anything as long as it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can have fun. You know, the Holy Spirit he will make sure we have fun.
He does.
We can't have fun unless we're acting like the world. You know, we don't have to act like the world. We don't have to go to Las Vegas to have fun.
We can
rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can worship God, you know. You know, that's what I do all the time. I want to worship God. I don't want to operate in the things of the world. I used to operate in the things of the world when I was in the world. I don't want to go back to the world looking for joy and peace when it's in God. And that's where I want to live in the things of God. I don't want to do the things of the world. So we got to remember that we are Christians and we are alive to God. The world is darkness, and they are separated from God. They are dead to the things of God. In other words, God told Adam, says, if you eat of this tree, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. You will die for me. You will have the attitude that there is no God. You'll be an atheist. He's operating with God, and then he sins against God. He's just like an atheist. Whatever atheist is, I don't believe anybody don't believe there's a God, especially when trouble comes.
That's
especially
right.
When they're on an airplane and they think it's going to crash, you know. So what we're saying is they just don't know the God. They don't know the God who loves them, who cares about them. So what are we going to show the world? We're going to show the world the goodness of our God, the goodness of our God, by the lifestyle we live, not trying to make them look bad. We're not here to change the morals of the world. We're here to change the hearts of the world. And when we change the hearts of the world through Jesus Christ, then we will automatically change the value system. You can't change the value system of a nation until they get the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have the sinful nature inside of us, we do things that are sinful. So let's not try to make sinners act like Christians. They are not Christians.
Well, you know, can I say something on that? You know, when they were, I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with these ladies, and they were just saying horrible things. And I thought about you saying on one of the shows, well, that's not nothing. They were saying that's what's in them. That's just what was in them anyway. That's why it's coming out. So what I was really kind of thinking, and it made me react and just started picking up Christ-like behavior and quoting scriptures, and because I was like, I don't want what's in them to get on me. You know, I don't want to come out tainted. I don't want to be complaining because, you know, you hear if you with people and they're acting that way, if you keep standing around them and if you don't separate, you know, your conversation from what they're talking about, or just be aware that they're doing it, then they'll pull you in too. And then next thing I know, I'll be talking ugly right with them and complaining and frowning. And I was just fearful. I said, I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm past all that. So that's one reason I started doing it too. I was trying to save myself. I said, I got to save myself and be aware of myself. They should know better. You know, they say that they're ministers or whatever they profess to be. God love them, but they're not displaying that right now. And I want to always display that because people are watching you, and God sees all.
Yeah, he sees all. The main thing we want to do is learn how to live the life in joy and peace. It's kind of like I was talking. I might have said it on the air. I know I said it in prison yesterday. That's kind of like you getting in your car. I mean, kind of like you said, I'm going to town, you get behind your car and start pushing it to town rather than getting inside the car and starting it up and putting it in D and drive to town. We make this hard. This is not hard.
That's right.
We're trying to keep the law. So you can't keep the law and grace. They don't mix. In other words, we obey because we love God. We don't obey out of duty. Think about that. We don't obey out of duty. We obey because we love God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There are a lot of people trying to keep the commandments of God, and it's a burden on them because they don't have the heart of God. So if you don't have the heart of God, you're not going to keep the commandments of God. And if you try to keep them, it's going to be a burden on you. When God gave the commandments to Israel, they could not keep the commandments, okay? They could not keep them. And guess what? We cannot keep them. Jesus Christ kept the commandments on our behalf. He went to the cross. And we live by grace, the grace of God. And grace and law will not mix. It will not mix. Mm. The law tells us about our sins, but grace delivers us from our sins. So we got to realize that this is not hard. We make Christianity hard because we're patterning after other religions. We're trying to judge people. We're trying to put burdens on people. We keep putting laws and regulations on people who are saved. No, they need to learn to listen to the Spirit. That's how you grow in Christianity. You learn to listen to the Spirit. Because if you don't listen to the Spirit, you will grow in the things of the world. And that's good. That we must realize this. We must be kind and considerate and tell the truth in love. Let's have a song here.
So glad God don't change. So glad the Lord don't change. So glad the Lord don't change. He do what he say, just like he said. So glad God don't change. So glad the Lord. It's a good thing to know he don't change. So glad the Lord don't change his two words, just like he said he would. So glad the Lord don't change. So glad God don't change. He's a good thing to know he don't change. He don't change what he said, but just like he said. So glad the Lord don't change. He healed my body. God is the same God. to tell you one more thing. Let me change it up one more time. Oh, you don't change. No, let me tell you here the reason why. God don't change. If God promised you a house, you might as well get ready and build. If God promised you a car, you might as well get ready and drive. If God promised you some money, get up in the morning, go to the bank. If God promised you some land, you might as well get ready, look for your land. He's true God, my God is. He's true God, he will not fail you. He's a true God, my God is true. His mind, your mind don't change. His hand don't change. God don't change.
Amen. God will not change. God comes to change us. In other words, we don't line, God don't line up with us. We line up with God. But we need to get that in our minds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are matured, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged of no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He reveals the affairs of God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. His affairs are not revealed by smart men, men with wisdom and knowledge, but his word is revealed by the Holy Spirit. It's called God. It is God who loved the world so that he sent Jesus. It was the word of God who came in human flesh to die on a cross. It was God, the Holy Spirit, who came to live inside of us. So we are covered with God. We are hidden in God with Jesus Christ. And we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So the attributes of God is inside of human flesh. So we have the ability to destroy the works of Satan. So we need to live that life so we can have a victorious life. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So I just say today, not only do you go and fellowship with other believers, but you also be the church so those who are in darkness will see the God of the Bible. That you don't have to give them a copy of the Bible. You need to be the copy of the Bible. By the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you love, this will show them the real God living inside of you. We just thank God for today. We just thank God for this opportunity to just be a blessing today. God is awesome. He is such a good God. And we just thank God for that. And as we get ready to go, man, our time flies when we're having fun here. Praise God. I want all of us to pray. We want to pray over people who are sick and people who are having problems in their marriages, and we want to pray over children, you know, the protection over our children. We want to pray over the churches, you know, so we can have unity. And you know, I just want us all three that's on the line, we can all pray. We can pray at the same time. Let's just
thank
pray
you, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Lord Jesus,
you, Lord.
We just thank you, Lord.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come as humbles. We know how, Father God.
Wow. We
asking
Lord.
For your guidance and your counsel.
We know that you watch
God.
Over your word.
Asking for your protection, Lord. And
the
your
word
name.
Will return void,
Lord.
Lord
Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, you are the Savior. Oh, Father, and by your mighty hand, Lord God, you are able to keep
us,
Lord. You, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your saving grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your saving grace,
Lord. Get their name out of God for the people's gifts of praise and the offend of sacrifice.
We ask, Lord God,
welcome.
Let there be forgiveness and promise, Lord God.
Five,
and Father, people find
Father,
you to come and accept your blood, Lord God.
Instructions
and
the word of God.
Anointing, Lord God. And let those burdens be broken and taken away, Lord God.
We confess that people will not lose heart and grow weary and faint in actions. No,
Father, we
doing
love
right.
You, Lord.
For in due time,
give you praise,
and in the appointed season, they shall
reap
if they do not
Jesus
lose or relax their conscious faith. So then,
Father,
all
you
occasions and opportunities, the eyes open to the people. They do good
name,
to all the people, not only being profitable to
Jesus
them,
name,
but also
amen.
Spiritual good things, Lord. We pray that your people be a blessing, especially for the household of faith, those belong to God's family. Help us to remember that whoever sows generously will always reap.
Hallelujah, Lord.
God, you are able to
my tongue that will give you
favor
and
earthly blessings. People in abundance, so that they are
with the blood, Lord, they will be
profit.
Father God, in the name
Lord,
of Jesus, if you open their ears,
Lord,
they will hear, Lord. Call them, Father, in the name
God.
Of Jesus, Father,
shall be
into your
Lord,
saving
Lord.
Grace, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name
I
of
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord,
Father, we thank you
them,
for your love, Lord.
I thank you, Lord,
thank
for giving
you, Lord,
the spirit
Jesus.
Of power of love
thank
and
you,
calmness, Lord, and well-balanced
Hallelujah.
Mind. I thank you, Lord, for the cross, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord Jesus,
for
giving me a clean heart.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing what you said you would do, Lord Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Just touch them all.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Call
thank
unto you, Lord Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord
in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus, we
send your grace
you
and mercy upon
their
house,
Father.
Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank
Jesus.
You, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Plead the blood of
Jesus. Your mercy and your grace, Lord.
Oh, Lord, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you for your
loving
kindness, Lord.
We
know that you are faithful.
In the name of Jesus, Father God.
We thank you.
Thank you for your love.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, my Father.
We pray that, that
in the name of Jesus.
That it is done, Lord. We pray for you to have mercy, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you.
Amen. Let's do the King.
I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to
Oh, praise God. We thank God for all of you. May God bless you. And we will be back here on Sunday. And on Monday, the women will be ministering, led by Sister Marie Cooper. May God richly bless you, is my prayers. See you later.